This is the UCLA
Weekly Lecture.
Each week, for more information,
I'm going to talk
one of our UCLA Mindful Teachers offers a talk about UCLA
to deepen our understanding and forward to well-being.
UCLA
Thanks for joining us.
Join us each week for a new session on mindfulness.
We did a meditation, and that was the last part of the meditation, but we're going to do a meditation here that will give you a better sense of it. But first, let me talk about the spectrum of awareness. I know some people have studied it with me, but if you haven't, what I've discovered over many, many years of teaching is that people get kind of stuck in ruts in meditation, and they're doing their mindfulness practice and they kind of do it the same way all the time. And it can get dull, it can get repetitive. And actually, truthfully, there's nothing wrong with the meditation doing the same thing over and over, because it's cultivating all of the beautiful skills that I know you know we're developing here. But there is a much more expansive way to think about how mindfulness can work, that mindfulness is not only bring your attention back to your breathing. And as I started to think about the many ways, and I've studied with many different teachers, I learned many different practices with different teachers over lots of decades. And I started wondering, like, okay, this teacher taught me in one way, but it's really different than the way this other teacher taught me, but they're both mindfulness. So how does that fit together? And that's when over time, I started to develop what I call the spectrum of awareness practices. And the spectrum of awareness practices takes the multiple meditations that I've learned, or the categories of meditation, and puts them on a spectrum from the most narrow to the most expansive. And when I say the most narrow, I simply mean our attention is narrow to our attention being expansive. So it's a spectrum of awareness from focus to what I call natural awareness. We're going to do another meditation that's going to give you a more of a taste of it, so you can start to see how distinct these different ways of knowing are. I find this map to be very useful for a number of different reasons. I'll explain in a moment. But what I want to say is that I always say this, the map is not the territory. We can have a map, but it doesn't mean that you're not going to have your own direct experience of it that may fit up against this map, and it may be different. And that's the way maps work. And that's fine. Like, it's just, this is a way of dividing up meditation that I think has been proven really helpful to a lot of my students. And why? The question is why? Because it allows us to do three very specific things. It allows us to, one, to assess or identify what's actually happening in our meditation. So oftentimes we're just practicing mindfulness, meditating, and it's like, okay, I just sat there and it was okay. But when we can start to notice it, we can say, oh, well, I'm experiencing open awareness, or today there's focused awareness. That's the most obvious thing. And we start to have a language for understanding how the meditation is manifesting itself. And then secondly, it allows us to adjust or try different approaches when we get stuck. So for instance, we start to meditate and we're doing the same old thing, which maybe we do focusing on the breath, focusing, and our mind feels very tight and tense and it's causing agitation. Oh, maybe I should do a more open practice. And so we can shift and adjust to help us find more balance and ease and connection within the practice itself. The third reason is we can expand. So we can try new approaches to deepen and enhance our practice. And that's when it can get quite interesting, because maybe you've been practicing one way this whole time, and then suddenly you try a new practice and you just, oh, my practice feels so much aliveness. This is so interesting. Or, you know, a lot of times also, I'll tell you, when I describe these different types of awareness, people will say, oh yeah, I've been experiencing this for a long time. I didn't even know that was a thing. And so it can be helpful to have a map to help us understand better. So what is the map? I'm going to review it a little bit and then we'll try a short meditation connected to it. The map, I'm going to see if I can get this to work. Hold on. Please. Okay, well, we can use this. Is that still, can you see me? Can you see this? Yeah, okay. So wait, let's move it up and let's move this down. Sorry, it's small. Maybe here, I can make it bigger. The spectrum of awareness. So remember, there are four different types. There probably are a lot more. This is just how I landed. There's focused, which is very, so it's one end of the spectrum, it's very focused and narrow. The next is investigative, and that's where we still have some focus, but we begin to investigate our experience. So it's not it's not entirely focused. The third is open awareness, where we're following the flow of our experience with however it arises. And the fourth is natural, which is a resting into the existing awareness in a kind of open state that's more free-flowing and can be quite beautiful. And it's a little different than probably what we've experienced so far. So what I'm going to do right now is, well, hold on. There's a couple more things. So just so you know, now you have these. It doesn't really matter even if you remember them or not, because I'm going to go over them again. So what happens with this map? One of the ways of thinking about this is probably, I think, the best. Is like a camera analogy. You can take a photograph that's a telephoto lens camera, using the telephoto lens on the camera. It's very, very narrow, very precise. Maybe you're taking a picture of a glass and you're seeing all the little striations and all the water molecules, right? It looks like I'm a little delayed. Is there a problem or is it okay? It's okay? It's okay, good. Okay. It is for me. The second one is, so you can also take a photograph that's like an ordinary photograph. You take a photograph of your friends. It's just like an ordinary le lens. And then you can take a wide open, spacious photograph, also known as panoramic lens. And they're all useful. So it's not like a focused telephoto lens camera focused is better than a panoramic lens. It's just you use them at different times. And it's the same thing with the meditation practice, that we use different ones for different reasons. And you're going to see this. Now, someone's asking the question, wait, where does guided meditation fit into this spectrum? Okay. And she asks, is guided meditation actually meditation? So I skipped over this part. Meditation is a very general word. Meditation, I think of it as practices that cultivate inward investigation. Meditation, if you can think of meditation, think of it like sports. The word meditation is like sports. Sports is a huge category, and under sports are hundreds of types of sports. Under the category of meditation, there's hundreds of types of meditations, including guided meditation, moving meditation, prayer is a form of meditation, a transcendental meditation, healing meditation, right? There's so many different types. We are landing in just one category, which is awareness meditations, practices that cultivate awareness, and we can call it mindfulness meditation. So we're doing the spectrum of awareness practices. So we can have a very narrow, we can have an open, spacious, we can have everything in between. And as I said, there's not really a hierarchy. Like, they all are great. So you get to play with them all. And some of them, you'll practice it and you'll think, oh, this is really, really, it lights me up. And oh, this one's too hard, I don't get it. And so on. So we're going to do a new meditation right now that's going to be different. Some of you have done it with me. If you've taken, because I've taught this class many times, on the spectrum of awareness. And I'm going to put into the chat. So it's a, let's get, we'll get settled to get this going. This is a YouTube of an aquarium. So what I'm going to ask you to do, some of you, you're familiar with this. There's an aquarium YouTube that I love. I've been doing for a long time. I probably should get a new one. So maybe I'm getting a little sick of it. But anyway, we'll do this one. It's so beautiful. It, so click on the YouTube, and then you will have a fish scene. It is not a fish scene in the wild. This is an aquarium. I'm waiting for mine to load. Hold on. And if you're listening, if you're listening at home and you're not here and you don't have the link, all you have to do is just this one is called Tropical Reef Camera Powered by Explore.org and it's on YouTube. Okay, so now full screen that, make it full screen. And when you do that, you're going to lose me and get rid of any, you know, they're starting to. It started giving me some information. Just ignore that. You're going to lose me, and that's okay because all you need from me is my voice. And you're going to be looking at this seascape and practicing all these different types of awareness. And I hope by the end of it, you're going to get a better sense of what I'm talking about. All right. Is anybody having any problem doing it? You're all set? All right. So full screen, my voice. I'm even gonna disappear for a minute. Okay, so begin by getting settled and you can close your eyes if you want, take a few breaths. Notice how you're doing as we start the meditation. So now open your eyes and look at the tropical reef camera. Take a look at it. And let your eyes come to rest on that plant that's in the bottom front. I'm sure it has a name. It's some kind of coral or something. I don't know what it is, but let's call it plant. So let your eyes come to rest there. And for the next couple of minutes, this is your focus. You're going to stay looking at that plant. Now, as you do that, things will happen like fish will swim across it, or some dramatic fish will pass through and it'll grab your attention. And if that happens, let that happen, but then come back to the plant. So you might get pulled away, but you come back. And I know you know that this is quite analogous to what we do when we meditate. You're with your breath, your attention wanders, you bring it back. So you're with the plant. Something pulls you away and just come right back to the plant. The plant is your focus. So let's try that for the first part of the meditation and have some fun with this. Enjoy it. It's not the typical way that we meditate. Notice the impact on you of doing this. It's a focused awareness practice, focusing on this plant. And then let's take a breath. And now we're going to continue. Keep your attention also again on the plant. But now it's going to be slightly different, which is when your attention gets pulled away, maybe by a specific fish or some of the lighting or the way that a school of fish passes through, follow that with your eyes. Notice it. See what pulls you away. Stay with it until it swims out of view and then come back to the plant. So the plant's your primary focus, but now you have secondary focuses, foci, I guess, and you can follow that and then keep coming back to the plant. So we'll try this as the second one. Okay, let's take a pause and notice what that was like for you. Take a breath. That was analogous to investigative awareness. And now we're going to move to the third one, which is open awareness or choiceless awareness. And for this, don't worry about the plant. Let go of the plant and just follow whatever your eyes are drawn to. Just go with the flow of this fish, then this school of fish, and then the light, and then the sea, anything. Let your interest be your guide. In other words, this pulls your interest, go with it. Stay with it. When it disappears, something else will grab your attention and follow it. Okay, so let's give this one a try. Make. Okay, for the last one, just take a pause, a breath. The last one, I just invite you to relax, soften your belly, soften your mind, and just allow the whole thing to be here. There's a beautiful seascape emerging, and it's just changing and shifting, and the light is changing, and the fish are moving through. And all you have to do is just be with this experience, letting the whole thing happen at once. Relax, soft. You don't have to make yourself be aware of anything in particular. You might even play with noticing the water and not the fish. Is that possible? And you might even play with looking beyond the screen and including the whole of your room, your whole visual field, just allowing it to come to you as you rest and sense and just be this beautiful, beautiful seascape rising and shifting and changing. Nothing you have to do. Take it in. Let this play happen. Breathe. And now, for the next little bit, like we did before, go to your choice. Which one did you most enjoy? Which felt the most fun, interesting, nurturing, easiest? Do that for about 2 more minutes as you enjoy this fish meditation. And now, if you want to close your eyes, you can for the last 10, 15 seconds. Just check into yourself and see where you are with all of that. How are you as we conclude this meditation? And breathe. And then we can end the meditation and shut down your fish. close the window and come back into the room here together. Okay, well, I hope that was fun. This is what meditators do for fun. I'd love to hear from you what you observed, what that was like, what maybe some of it, what you found interesting, engaging, or questions, or I liked this one, but I didn't really understand that one, or whatever. I'd love to hear. So I'll give a moment for you to put it into the chat, unless someone wants to come on screen. I'm also hoping to answer the question, did that clarify for you what those four different pieces were, the four on the spectrum? Oh. It's easier to focus on a beautiful fish than on the breath or the usual things. Well, yeah, I mean, when something is novel and attractive, right, there, it's like, it pulls you in, it's compelling. But if there's no reason you can't meditate with fish from time to time, I mean, it's a great practice. Why not? And part of what we're doing when we're meditating is learning that tolerance for things not being so exciting, because it gives us, it allows the mind to go in more deeply when it's more subtle, right, than like a flashy kind of thing. But it's a lovely way to practice. Okay, lots of comments here. I like the plant and whatever caught my eye in return. I don't remember the name. Okay, so that was investigative awareness. You stay with the plant and something grabs your eye. You follow that, then you come back. That's investigative awareness. So if you can figure that out in your meditation, you're with your breathing, and then a loud sound comes and you listen to the sound until you can't hear it anymore, and then you come back to your breath. So that's the analogy. Great, beautiful fish, relaxing. If my favorite was the open format, does that mean I need to work on my ability to focus? No, not necessarily. Sometimes we're able to be aware of the open format, of the open awareness, because we've developed enough concentration that we can have stability with the open awareness. So it's some people find that they are drawn to open awareness and that they've never been able to focus, but when they learn that there's open awareness way to practice, they can really, really connect with the meditation. So there is that category of people. I don't know if anybody is like that here today. Love using the fish for the spectrum of awareness. Really fun to realize I already use open awareness when I look at aquariums. Yes. We use these different types of awareness all the time. Also, when you're driving, you have to be focused, but you also have to have peripheral awareness too. And if you were too much focused, you might hit something, right? Because you're not seeing what's happening around us. But also, you've probably been meditating in these different ways as well. Following the fish felt fragmented and monkey mind, like the last a lot with the fish. Not sure about absent the fish. Yeah, so some of the different ways of doing it can activate like agitation in the mind, right? Like you just said, fragmented. And sometimes it doesn't. Everybody's different. And one of the reasons I developed this model is because after teaching for so many years and seeing how different people's minds are, there is no one size fits all meditation. And so I as a teacher want to offer different ways for us to practice so that we can connect, so that we can make mindfulness our own. And some of you are going to love the last one. Some of you are not going to like it at all. Some of you, yeah. So I found someone said, I found open awareness almost overwhelming. And that is totally legit. It can feel that way. And so then the practice might be to stay with the focus and not worry so much about it. There's no hierarchy. It's not like one's better than the other. The fish tank visual helped me understand better the types of meditation. Great. That was my goal. It helped me reinforce the different techniques. The last two choices were great and seem very similar to each other. So I'm going to clarify that a little in a little while, because for a couple of different reasons. So hold on with that one. I liked being able to watch shiny objects until they disappeared and then focus on another group. Did not like looking at the whole picture. It made me a bit dizzy. Yeah, no problem. I liked focusing on the plant, then bring the focus back to the plant. Oh, I see. I liked focusing on the plant, wandering off, and then bringing the focus back. I contemplated time. We can't really capture any moment well as it passes as we process it. So understanding that world we live in is fleeting, which is really the sacred part of being human and alive. Sharon, you had a very deep meditation, understanding time and having this like profound insight. It's beautiful. I was really struggling with being present during the first part of the session, and the fish exercise helped me to be present. Wonderful. I clarified it. Which one was natural again? I'm going to talk about natural in a second. Someone said, I think it helps with ADHD. I think you're right. I taught this recently for a university class with students, and a lot of them identified as having ADHD, and they said that's the one meditation they keep doing is the fish meditation. I think it gives them something very clear to, like, very specific to focus on. I found it delightful and relaxing. It was a great escape from reality. Unsure if that was the goal, but I'm motivated to visit the aquarium. I'm happy you're happy. Beside the fish, I was sometimes pulled away by my thoughts. I found that interesting. Yeah. So when we do this meditation, sometimes when I'm guiding it, I'll say, if a fish pulls you away, or if your thoughts pull you away, bring it back. So yeah, that's exactly right. You would get pulled away by thoughts. You would get pulled away by visual, and that's normal. And then you learn to return. The colored fish drew my attention. Oh, I'm sorry. Fish brought up the trauma of losing my 35-year-old koi in the Palisades fire. Andrea, I'm so sorry. Okay, so please take care of yourself. And we're not going to keep going with fish, but if it feels like you need some support, let me know, okay? And just to be really kind to yourself. Enjoyed the soothing and relaxing music with the sounds of water and the colorful fish. When I wasn't intentionally focusing on the plant, I got really sleepy. So definitely can happen. So when we get more open and spacious, the mind can get dispersed and a little tired. So thank you everybody for all of your comments, and I'm glad that I think you all got it, and I'm glad that you see the really important thing, which is that, as I said, there's not a one size fits all, that we're doing this to discover what is possible so that, as I said, we can assess, adjust, and expand. And you can pick up one of these in your meditation practice and keep going. Now, the natural awareness is different than the open awareness. So that's a question that's come up a few times. The third and the fourth, they can seem like they're similar because they're both open, but they're not the same. So when we're practicing open awareness, we're noticing the objects of awareness. Now, the objects of awareness means the things that we notice when we're meditating. An object is my breath, sound, my body sensations. Can someone make sure they're on mute? Thanks. So breath, sound, thoughts, emotions, sensations, those are what we call the objects of meditation. When we're doing the open awareness, we no longer have an anchor, but we just let ourselves notice whatever is happening as it occurs, the objects. When we move to natural awareness, we're moving towards awareness of awareness itself. So rather than the objects within the awareness, it's the thing that is knowing the awareness. And it's very hard to teach. So what I do is I point you towards it because it's an experience that one accesses, but I can't, I could have said, or I could when I do, sometimes when I guide it, I'll say, see if you can notice that which is knowing. Like, where is the awareness itself? But sometimes the spacious openness points us right there. And that's why I play with that with you all. One of the reasons I'm sharing all this is that I'm going to be teaching a 6-week class on natural awareness. So that's the last one, and that's going to be coming up in May. So I wanted to kind of give you a preview of here's the format that it comes, or format, not really the I don't know the word, but anyway, this is where it's embedded in this spectrum of awareness, and then we'll do natural awareness practices. And so, for those of you who are drawn to that fourth one, it could be a fun class to do. And I'm going to, we'll put at the end of the class, we'll put that into it. But I want to give you a little bit more on natural awareness so that you have a sense of what it is. Okay. Natural awareness, I define as a free-flowing mindfulness where one feels generally aware, awake, open, spacious, and fully present without a lot of effort to make it happen. It is something we've all had tastes of in our lives, and I have heard people talk to me about this for so long. Like, I've had this when I was a child. I just went outside and my mind relaxed and I felt a kind of oneness with the view. We've had that experience. A lot of people have experienced of sort of a deep connecting and settling and a resting of mind when they're with animals, their pets. You know what I'm talking about, right? If you're like we can get into that place, or with children, especially babies who live in a kind of timeless zone. It's possible. What happens is we have these tastes of natural awareness, and then and it's wonderful. And then we just kind of move on and forget about it. But what we can do with our meditation practice is actually deliberately work to bring these more forward, right? And to have longer and more stabilized forms of natural awareness so that we, so it's not just a fleeting glimpse, but it's stabilized over time. So it can be, natural awareness can come in just like 1 second, and at the very end, it can be strong and powerful, and we can live more and more from that space. And when we live more and more from that space, we have more depth of being, less drama, less egotism, that there's more connection to ourself, to life, more sense of being connected to all things, that there's a profound, profound well-being that can come when we can connect with this natural awareness that is there within all of us. And I call it natural awareness deliberately because I feel like it's everyone can access it. It's not some like mystical woo-woo state, but it at least at the in the in the glimmers of it, but as it stabilizes through practice and concentration, it can become very profound way of living and being. So words that I use sometimes are pure, pristine, luminous, open, spacious, expansive. We can also, for those of you familiar with other meditative traditions, it's more coming from what we can think of as the non-dual traditions. So traditions like Tibetan Dzogchen or Mahamudra, and Advaita Vedanta in Hinduism or Kashmiri Shaivism. It's also shows up in Zen. So it's a very It's the reason I started teaching it many years ago, as I think I was saying, is I was having all these teaching, working with different teachers, and I found myself wanting to understand how these practices fit together. And these practice the practices that I teach, when I teach natural awareness, it's just like an invitation to access it. I'm not, obviously, I'm not like a Tibetan Dzogchen master or something like that. I just teach it in a way that I think it's accessible to everyone. It's available to everyone if we learn to turn our minds to it. And the way that we do it is through what I call glimpse practices, practices that just invite you to this state of well-being. And I also want to say that for some people, it's not their thing. For some people, they try it. They go, I don't even get this. I don't understand. For some people, it's just not how their practice is manifesting. And for other people, it's very, it's a beautiful place that we can play with in the meditation. So I'm going to do a glimpse practice for you. Maybe we'll have, if we have time, we might do more than one. And so, for us to see what happens when we explore natural awareness. Someone wrote, it sounds like what poets do. I think it's very part of the arts. And when we come into that space of flow and awareness and being that just is this kind of isness quality that we can all access. All right, so let's try a glimpse practice for fun and see what happens. Let's take a breath and settle in, and we'll take a moment to find our breath and our body. Feeling the rising, falling, or in, out, or maybe listening to sounds. When I spoke about natural awareness, I said that we've all had access to it. You may not know what I'm saying exactly, but I invite you to bring to mind a time in your life where you felt deeply at peace, joyful, connected, equanimous. It could be any quality, but like a sense that might be in this territory. And see if you can imagine what this territory is if you're not certain. Maybe it was a time in nature. You have a memory of being somewhere incredible in nature where you just felt profoundly at home. Or it might have been, I mentioned, with animals. Or maybe in the midst of sports where you were in that zone. Or maybe it was with a dear friend, just feeling deeply seen and nourished, or looking up at the stars at night, where your sense of me kind of disappeared. Where might you have touched into the natural awareness, the awareness that's part of all of us, a part of each of us as humans? And so, if something comes to mind, let's fill it out in our mind's eye. See if you can remember where you were. Where was I? What did I see? What did I hear? Was there smells or tastes? And most importantly, what did I feel? And invite in how you felt at that time, or if you can't think of anything, imagine how you might feel as you connected in that space and time. And really let yourself feel it, sink into it, soften, Relax at home, connected, restful being. Just stay with it for another short while. Let it grow or let it expand, let it move through your body. Let yourself access this joy, this well-being that is your birthright, that you've had tastes of. Let it be here right now, this recollection. And take a breath and notice your body present here, feet on the ground. And then let's open our eyes or end the meditation. So I know maybe not everybody could think of something. But if you could, and if you felt like you might have just had a taste of what I'm talking about, and also it was the fish, it was the last part of the fish and the last part of the meditation, I'd love to hear from you anything you want to share, even just like what the qualities were. What did you feel? Or you, if you want to say where you were, like I was at the beach and I felt openness and peace, or feel free to do that. We'll just take a couple of minutes here. Paula.
Yeah, hi. So I after we did the four different meditations with the fish, I found that I was really drawn to the last one we did. And for me, what happened with that was that it was like instead of really vividly seeing like one fish go by and following that sort of thing, everything felt a little more kind of muted, you know? But I felt more like one with it all, you know? So muted or even kind of like my vision maybe even seemed a little fuzzy, kind of, if that makes sense. And then for this last one we did, I was at the local botanical gardens with a friend of mine on Sunday. And so that's what I thought of. And when I thought of that, it just, you know, it's the same kind of feeling. I just felt very connected with everything, you know, and it actually brought, you know, a couple of tears to my eyes, you know, because it just felt really good. And
Well,
yeah.
it's lovely what you're saying. And yeah, sometimes what you're describing, that muted quality can, because it's like expansive, so it's a little more diffuse, versus focus can be sharper. So
Yeah.
that's normal. And it's wonderful what you're describing, that and it was just the other day. Like, this is not something that we have to like climb to a top of a mountain and meditate for years and years to get. It's part of our lives. And so it's recognizing that. I think you really got that. Thanks for
Yeah,
sharing.
great. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. So I'm going to go into the comments here. My dog was hugging me. I recall being at one in the South Pacific, looking at the stars, moon, and oceans, at peace, at one. Beautiful. Camping with friends along the river in Virginia years ago and looking up at the stars. I was watching meteor showers, feeling connection and awe. Watching lion cubs in Africa in the wild, felt thrilled, excited, and joyful. Breastfeeding, even though 47 years ago my body memory was so alive, the giving and receiving, we were one. Beautiful. I realized that I didn't like natural with the aquarium, but with the last meditation, I went back to a hike last year where I had this real feeling of peace and wellness with the world. Curious why that feeling didn't come with the fish. Yet when out in nature, I'm able to get it to that spot right away. Everybody has a different doorway in. For some people, the fish are like, whoa, that lights me up. For some people, no. And for some people, it's being out in nature. And for some people, being out in nature, they hate it. For some people, it's there's in my book, The Little Book of Being, which really goes into natural awareness. I have, I think 37 glimpse practices. And the reason I offer so many is because everybody's different and different ones work and different ones work at different times. And you get to play with all of that. I felt an co intense connection to everyone and everything after my first child was born. There's a couple of around babies and children. Yesterday in the sunshine. I was riding my bike by myself at age 10 in the foothills near my house in San Jose, alone in nature, the joy of moving fast, beautiful scenery, and not eaten by mountains, mountain lions, luckily good. Laying on the ground, watching the sky while listening to my first audiobook about meditation. Cool. I have been miserable, and it was an initial moment of peace that grew and grows now. Thank you for that experience to remember. I just want to remind us, just pause that, and I've said this hundreds of times if you've come to classes with me, what we do with our mind matters, right? We can sit in, with our mind and think about all the stressful, horrible things that are going on in the world, or, obviously we need to stay informed, whatever, but we can also use our mind to turn to beauty and joy and memories of connection. And when we talk about these things, it invokes it more, right? Just talking about it. It's very powerful practice. And I think more and more these days, in light of just the kind of wild nature of what's going on in the world, the more we can connect to that depth of well-being, the better off we're going to be. So glad that this is happening as we play with this. Toes in the sand at Santa Monica Beach, not feeling my usual anxiety. Awesome. So that's interesting. It wasn't so much a specific state, but it was the absence of a negative state. Fantastic. There were a few nights camping on the Appalachian Trail where I felt totally at peace as I rested in my tent, oblivious to the larger civilized world. Someone said they loved hearing these. When I do photography, I sometimes witness something special in nature and I'm in awe. Hiking in the Hawaiian rainforest, surrounded by green lushness. I only remember three ways of looking at, okay, I'll list those things again. Hold on. In nature, timelessness, joy, and gratitude, immersed in incredible beauty and light. I've been trying to recapture a moment in a garden in Tokyo almost 35 years ago. Fish, sun, turtles, rock, garden. Such a strong emotion so long ago. Yeah, these kinds of experiences, they stay with us. Okay. It's like some of you are recalling things from 35, 30 years ago. This is the power of these practices that we can recall and connect. Oh, sorry, that what I was gonna say is this is the power of having a profound experience. That it stays with you your entire life. It does not go away. It's there. And I want to just encourage people every now and then this week, maybe just recall that moment and notice what it does to your physiology, notice what it does to your body and mind, and just take it in. And even if it's like 2 seconds of it, that's a glimpse practice, and do it as much as you feel drawn. These are the four different ones: focused, investigative, open, and natural. All of it is in the Little Book of Being, if you've never seen my book. But I just want to say that we're coming to an end. So, like I mentioned, I'm going to do a class on natural awareness. So that's coming up in May. Serena will put the stuff in, and we're going to be posting a whole new set of other classes. So for those of you who are more advanced, we're going to have an advanced student study group. I'm going to do a day long on judgments, I mentioned. I'm going to do that at the beginning of May, so like a month from now. We have Mitra offering something. We're going to have a lot. So just stay tuned to our newsletter coming in the coming weeks. And then I just wanted to give you a taste of the natural awareness, because that is a fun one that's coming up as well. All right, everybody. I just want to invite us all to send a little bit of loving kindness to each other. Wishing everyone well, wishing that we can have deeper and deeper access to beautiful states of being to help counteract the challenging ones that we encounter out in the world. May you be happy and peaceful. May you be at ease. And may your joy and happiness continue. So, thanks, everyone. Can go off mute and we'll say goodbye. And I won't be here. Oh, just another ad. Forgot. Next week, I forget who's here, a guest teacher, but the following week will be more guests. It's doing an event on relationships and mindfulness. And I have some people who just wrote a book called This Messy, Gorgeous Life about relationships or something like that. They're coming in 2 weeks. And then I'll be back teaching a normal class. Anyway, if you stay in this session on Wednesdays, we have all sorts of fun things coming up for you. And Serena just posted the Wednesday schedule. All right, my friends, I'll see you in a couple of weeks. Enjoy sending my love and kindness out to you all. Bye-bye.